Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
This morning we are beginning our study in the book of Revelation. I encourage you to read through the book, and as we read the opening chapter, you will hear, hopefully, the reason why you're encouraged to just read the whole thing. Now, we do that with all the epistles. I would even encourage you to do it with the Gospels, but especially with the epistles. You need to read them through because they were intended as letters. This Revelation actually contains a number of epistles, a number of letters in it. But the book of Revelation is best understood as you read it straight through, because there is repetition, there is poetry, there is amazing imagery, and we need to understand what God is saying. If you listen in chapter 1, you will hear the promises of God. This is God's word. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the Isle of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and Out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. As we study the book of Revelation, my goal is not going to be to try and relate this to the newspaper. As we study the book of Revelation, the goal is to understand what it says. What does it say? And then in light of that, how are we to live? In this book, we have not once upon a time, far, far away. We have a clear account from a fellow named John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus. I was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. This is written from John, the beloved disciple of Jesus, who was suffering persecution and exile because of his faithfulness in proclaiming the gospel. That's who's writing. But what he is writing is not his own thought, nor even is it simply the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit working through him, as is the case of the other biblical writings. This is a special message that he received in a special way and was commanded to write it down and share it. Who was he writing and sending that to? The people God told him to write it and send it to. Who's that? It tells us. The seven churches. Where are these seven churches? Well, Pastor, I hope you're aware that the seven churches can best be understood as seven ages of the church age. You see, within the dispensation of the church, we have the various church ages. And of course, if you have good footnotes in your Bible, it will make it all clear to you. I want to ask you a question. If that's the principal meaning of the text, did the people in, let's say, 900 AD put themselves in the middle section? Did they say, I believe we are living in the age of Thyatira? I don't think so. My understanding of the text, looking at world events, looking at the history of the church up to this point, ever since Mr. Luther has come on the scene and clarified things for us, I believe we're in the age of Sardis. Nope. Philadelphia? Nope. Every church, every age, if you take that approach to interpretation, is going to identify itself as Laodicea. And it's easy to do because in every generation, the church, as we know it, has a lot in common with the church in Laodicea. Lukewarm. But what I want us to understand is we have a lot in common with those other churches too. If you interpret this as church ages, you're going to see yourself just right here. And instead, you need to see yourself here. That's what it's about. These were seven literal churches. They really existed. You can go back and visit the ruins. They're not exactly healthy churches today. And this book tells us, this message tells us what we need to do today in our community. So as we study what God says to them in their community, we are to be instructed because it applies to us. Just as when we study what God said to Israel in their time, it instructs us. All those things were written as warnings to us. All of those things were written as instruction for us. We can't read the Old Testament accounts and say, well, you know, that really has nothing to do with us. You know, Old Testament, bunch of Jews. You know, I mean, why should I care? You should care because God gave us his word to instruct us. And all of it, Old Testament and New, all of it points not just to us. We're this much of the story. All of this points us to Jesus. It's all about him. When you study the book of Revelation, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, not just a revelation that he gives to the church, but a revelation that he gives to the church of himself. So, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. This is a real problem for some people. It says, what must soon take place? You can read arguments in books or on the internet about whether that really means what must soon take place. Because, of course, if it meant what must soon take place, then one of two things is true. Either it didn't happen the way it said it was supposed to, because we're still waiting for all this to take place, or it did happen soon, shortly after this was written. And then, you know, again, what does that have to do with us? I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff in this book that doesn't seem to have happened. Well, let me tell you something. There's a bunch of stuff in this book that has not yet happened. Okay? Well, so I think maybe we ought to look at another meaning of that word. Because the word soon could mean quickly or suddenly. Boy, I like that. That makes sense because then we can make the whole thing future, see? And so we're waiting for all this to happen. And when it does happen, it's going to happen suddenly. Okay. Well, I feel better now. Verse 3, the time is near. Oh, that doesn't mean suddenly. You know what that means when it says the time is near? It means the time is near. It means exactly what it says. Do you know the wonderful thing about the Word of God? God says what he means and he means what he says. So if you want to know what it means when it says this is going to soon take place, it means it's going to soon take place. And when it says the time is near, it means the time is near. And so you have seven literal churches in a literal place at a literal time being told, hey, this is what's going on, this is what's going to happen, and it's going to happen soon, and you need to be ready. So I thought you said there was a bunch of stuff in here that hasn't happened yet. There is a bunch of stuff in here that hasn't happened yet. Go back and read the Old Testament concerning the coming of Messiah. And you find that there are things that clearly reference his first coming and other things that clearly reference his second coming. And as our call to worship this morning, we read from what he says in Luke about the fact that before he comes again, he has to be rejected by this generation. And yet Jesus speaks of both in a telescope fashion so that what is near and what is far is brought together, and you can't really tell how much time there is between, as is often the case in prophetic writing. So when it says it must soon take place, you would say that means it must soon take place? Yeah, absolutely. And it says the time is near? That means the time is near? Yes. Yes, definitely. And so when it says to the seven churches in the province of Asia, that means that there are seven churches in the province of Asia that need to get these letters? Yes, that's exactly what it means. That's what it says. That's what it means. Well, what do you think about the church age thing? I think that that's a very useful way of looking at church history, as long as you understand that all seven ages have a lot in common with us right now.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
The angel testifies, and John testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. What a wonderful promise. What a blessing. What a great thing that God tells us if we read his word, the book of Revelation, we're blessed. Yes, look at chapter 22, the last chapter in the book. I mean, that first part's so positive. It's the kind of thing we like to hear. Oh, I'll be blessed just for reading this book? Yes, you will. And I'm blessed if I just listen to it? Well, if you listen to it and take to heart what is written in it. So Revelation 22, verse 18 and following. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Now, all of a sudden, it's a lot more serious. See, if I can just read the book and get blessed, I'm all for it. But then I find out I've got to be really careful what I do with what God says. Because if I add to it, I'm in trouble. And if I take away from it, I'm in trouble. So the study of the book of Revelation is a very serious matter. And we need to be very careful and prayerful as to how we proceed. Blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. If God were to walk into the room physically right now and he had a message for you personally, what do you think it would be? I'm disappointed in you. That's what a lot of us expect. It's the way we feel because we're disappointed in ourselves. Here's a word from God for his children, for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know what he says? He says it many times, and we need to take it seriously because he means it. He says, grace and peace to you. Well, I don't deserve that. That's why it's grace. Grace and peace to you. Wow. Well, Pastor, I thought that was for the seven churches in the province of Asia. It is. It's for them. But it applies to God's children. Grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah, he does not change. And from the seven spirits before his throne, also translated the sevenfold spirit before his throne, which would be the fullness of his spirit before his throne. Could we spend some time on that? No, because I don't know any more than that. And the focus is not on the seven spirits before the throne. The focus is from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. This is written to people who were facing death. They were facing martyrdom. You and I are currently in this country not facing martyrdom. Not in the literal sense. But everybody in this room, one way or another, sooner or later, is going to have to face death. Here's a message from Jesus. I've already conquered death. I'm the firstborn from the dead. I've come back. I beat it. That is good to know when you're facing death. It is good to know that our Redeemer lives. He's not saying, I think I can lick this thing. He's saying, death cannot harm you. I am as you will be. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in those who are His, and He will give us victory even there. Anyone who believes in me, Jesus says, will never die. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. All these potentates, the emperor, kings and people who think they're kings, they are all temporary players on a stage. Jesus Christ is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Worship Him. Don't be afraid. For goodness sake, we serve the King of Kings. We're here as ambassadors for Him. We're supposed to be representing His kingdom. We're supposed to be about His agenda. And we're supposed to love our enemies. Like He did. He went to the cross for us. He is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Look at Him. To Him who loves us, do you really believe God loves you, or do you still feel like God is sitting up there saying, what am I going to do about this person? Trying my patience? Well, in the letters to the churches, you're going to hear about some people who were messed up and they were going to suffer for it. And they were called to repent. 5 out of the 7 churches are told, repent! 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 But the reason He says that is because He loves us. He loves us. The call to repentance is a message of love. Because what it says is, I care about you and I don't want you to keep doing that. That's the wrong thing. You need to turn around. That's a wonderful message. It means there's hope for change. To Him who loves us and has, past tense, freed us from our sins by His blood. Not only am I forgiven, I no longer am a slave to sin. I don't have to keep doing the same stupid stuff. When you sin now, if you're a child of God, it's not because you have to. You were a slave to sin, not anymore. Now He has freed you, and you're no longer a slave to sin. And when you sin, you can't blame it on, I just couldn't help it. Yes, you could. Repent. He has freed us from our sins by His blood. Think what it cost Him so that we could stop sinning. Verse 6, He has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, He's coming with the clouds and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of Him. So shall it be. Amen. Pastor, do you believe that has yet happened? No, I do not believe that has yet happened. I do not believe that every eye has yet seen Him. I do not believe that all the peoples of the earth have yet mourned because of Him. But I do know this for a fact. That day is coming. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Folks, if you want to know what this book is about, that's what it's about. It's about Him. He's already conquered death. And He's saying to us what we'll see, God willing, next time, that He said to John, do not be afraid.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.